Okay, so let's get into this. We're going to start this deep dive not with some huge, policy announcement, but with a really small detail from a security report back in 2020. An Estonian sysadmin joked afterwards that the first clue of this massive international campaign was just another weird logline.
It's funny how it starts, isn't it? What's fascinating is that those few failed logins, something an IT guy sees every day, eventually unraveled this whole deep-seated campaign. We're talking targeted data theft, aggressive probing of
And the
networks.
trail didn't lead to some, run-of-the-mill hacking group.
Not at all. It led straight to one of the most effective and, frankly, brutal covert units in Russia's military intelligence, the GRU's Unit 29155.
And that really sets the mission for us here. We're going to explore the history and the chillingly effective operations, this unit sabotage, assassination, cyber attacks. But we have to go beyond that.
You have to.
We have to connect it to the political side. The influence campaigns run by people like Viktor Medvedchuk. We need to understand the line connecting the bomb to the ballot box.
Because that's the whole point. The kinetic stuff, the explosions, they grab the headlines, and they should. But the real threat, the one the EU is scrambling to sanction now, is this dual structure. They see the saboteur, 29155, and the political surrogate, Medvedchuk, as two sides of the same coin.
One breaks the infrastructure.
And the other one is right there, on television or online, telling everyone that the broken infrastructure is proof the government is failing you.
So before we get into the actions, let's just define the actor. GRU is Russia's military intelligence, and Unit 29155 is what? Like its covert shock troop?
That's a great way to put it. They're not about traditional espionage, stealing secrets. They are focused on active measures, sabotage, targeted killings, basically creating chaos.
That distinction is so important.
It's critical. And they first really burst into public view, not with a cyber hack, but with old school, brutal, covert action that was impossible to ignore. There are two big incidents that really put them on the map.
The first one, and probably the most infamous, has to be the Salisbury incident in 2018, the Novichok nerve agent attack.
Right. The poisoning of Sergei Skripal and his daughter. And the choice of weapon there tells you everything. Novichok is a military-grade chemical weapon. You don't use that for a quiet assassination.
You use it to send a message.
A terrifying one. And the fallout was huge. A civilian woman died just from handling the discarded bottle. It led to the largest coordinated expulsion of Russian intelligence officers by the UK and the EU since the Cold War. The message was, we can do this in your cities.
That created immense political pressure. But the second case, Vrbytis, is older, from 2014, but in some ways it's even more strategic, isn't it?
It's much more surgical. The explosions at that Czech ammunition depot weren't random. The target was incredibly specific. Third-party
They were
logistics.
going after military supplies.
Exactly. Munitions that were linked to Ukraine. The goal was to block arms supplies to a rival without ever having to set foot on the battlefield. You just blow up the depot deep inside a NATO country.
That's a whole other level of strategy. They're not just destroying a building, they're attacking Ukraine's supply lines from 1,000 miles away.
And it does two things at once. One, it physically stops the gear from moving. But two, and maybe this is more important, it sows doubt. If a depot can just blow up in Czechia, how safe is any supply line? It complicates everything and slows down the Western response.
So we've got poisonings to create a political spectacle and depot explosions to hit strategic logistics. But you said the unit has evolved. This is where we get into the cyber side of things.
Yeah, their toolkit has expanded massively. Western intelligence is now openly talking about 29155's cyber arm, a younger group they've sometimes labeled Cadet Blizzard.
And their mission isn't just spying.
No, their primary mission seems to be destruction, pure operational disorder.
Which we saw right before the full-scale invasion of Ukraine with the Whispergate attacks.
We did. January 2022, they hit multiple Ukrainian government networks with a wiper.
Okay, so for anyone listening, break that down. A wiper isn't the same as ransomware, is it?
Not at all. That's a great distinction to make. Ransomware locks your data and demands money. It implies, that you might get it back. A wiper is pure destruction. It's designed to make entire systems unusable. It erases everything.
It's not about profit, it's about paralysis.
Precisely. You use a wiper when you want to cause immediate chaos, to just brick their systems and create a massive headache for the government right when they need to be functioning.
And these targets are spreading. The German case is really telling.
It is. German intelligence has been warning that 2,955 linked groups are now actively probing critical infrastructure, running reconnaissance on NATO and EU networks. Berlin has summoned the Russian ambassador twice recently over these hybrid attacks.
And that includes things like the strike on German air traffic control systems in 2024. That's not abstract. That hits people directly. If planes can't fly, confidence just craters.
But here's the pivot. Cyber attack doesn't happen in a vacuum. The same actors are also running a disinformation campaign called Storm 1516. They're using deepfakes, fake witnesses, fake news content, all aimed at meddling in Germany's 2025 federal election.
Okay, so let's connect those dots. You have a nerve agent in a park, an ammo depot exploding, government files being wiped,
Yeah.
and then deepfakes trying to swing an election. These aren't just random acts of aggression.
No, they're all asking the same question. How much friction, how much pain can your political system take before you change your behavior? It's all about making it too costly, too exhausting for you to oppose them.
And this gets to that doctrinal concept, reflexive control. It sounds like a fancy term for propaganda, but it's not, is it?
It's much more sophisticated. Propaganda just tells you what to believe. Reflexive control is about shaping your adversary's perception of reality so completely that the choices that serve Moscow's interests, they start to feel like the most logical or least painful choices for you to make.
So the goal isn't just to tell German voters, vote for this party. The goal is to make the whole system feel so broken with the hacks and the disruptions that the German government just concludes, you know what, the easiest thing to do is just to stop sanctioning Russia.
Exactly. And this unit's toolkit, the mix of kinetic attacks, cyber disruption, and the fact that they never officially claim credit, it's the perfect way to apply reflexive control in the real world.
And the really insidious part is the cumulative effect. A poisoning here, an explosion there, a hack.
Oh.
After a while, the public just becomes exhausted. The outrage fades into background noise.
And that background noise is the strategic goal. That feeling that your institutions are just constantly failing. But, you know, chaos alone doesn't tell people how to vote. That's where the second track comes in, to translate that feeling into actual political action.
And that is our cue to bring in Viktor Medvedchuk, the exiled Ukrainian politician, Putin's man. Ukraine was happy to trade him for POWs in 2022, but Moscow treated his return like getting a high-value asset back online.
Because that's what he is. He may not be able to deliver votes in Ukraine anymore, but he has the money, the networks across Europe, and he knows how to sell a political narrative. He's the perfect surrogate.
And by early 2024, Czech intelligence blew the whistle, saying he was using a Prague-based media outlet, Voice of Europe, to run a massive influence op-em.
A huge one.
Mm.
And Voice of Europe, which is now sanctioned, offered a very simple deal to sympathetic politicians in Europe, mostly from the far right. The bargain was basically transactional.
Hold on, platform.
Repeat our talking points, get a huge media boost right before the European elections, and in some cases, here's a bag of cash. It was cash for narratives.
And the narratives they were pushing, they just happened to align perfectly with the chaos the GRU was creating.
Perfectly. It was all, you know. Sanctions are hurting you, the average European. Supporting Ukraine is driving your economy into the ground. And the big one, your leaders in Brussels and in your own capital cannot guarantee basic stability anymore.
So they don't have to say the GRU did it. They just create this mood music so that every time there's a power outage or a cyber attack, it's immediately seen as more proof that the entire system is failing you.
And that's the dual structure European security services are talking about. If you connect it all, you see it. On one track, you have 29155, the saboteur, creating chaos and raising costs.
And on the other track, you have Medvedchuk's network, the surrogate, taking that chaos and weaponizing it, turning it into political arguments.
It's the core mechanism. 29155 creates a real incident, like the air traffic control hack, that makes people genuinely doubt if the institutions can keep them safe.
And then Medvedchuk's guys sell that doubt back to voters as a reason to oppose sanctions, to oppose supporting Ukraine, to oppose the EU itself. They don't need to be in the same room. Their goals are perfectly aligned.
So when you look at the sum of its parts, if you treat the Salisbury poisoning, the Wiper attack, the depot explosion, and the deepfake campaign as separate files and separate government departments, they just look like a series of annoying but manageable problems.
But when you see them as two arms of one hybrid system GRU on one side, the political proxy on the other, you see the real strategy. It's designed to grind down democratic will. The technical problems 2995 creates become instant political ammunition for the surrogates.
Which means the policy response has to change. You have to fuse these conversations. Cyber defense, intelligence gathering, and countering foreign interference can't be separate talks anymore. The same actors are playing in all three fields.
So hardening your IT systems is inseparable from hardening your public narrative. There's no point having great defenses if every defensive action is immediately spun as elite incompetence by a media outlet funded from Moscow.
Exactly. And the recent EU steps are a good start. Sanctioning the GRU officers and their units by name, but also sanctioning the political operations like Voice of Europe. You have to call it out. You have to name 29155 and explain what it does to break that spell of ambiguity.
Because at its heart, the goal of this whole system isn't just to blow things up. It's to make disruption feel normal, to make any Western response feel pointless or too expensive. And Medvedchuk's network gives that feeling of fatigue a political voice. When a government just shrugs its shoulders in exhaustion, the system has won.
Which really leaves us, and you, with this final thought. The attack is a fully integrated system, the saboteur and the surrogate working together. So what does it take, politically and psychologically, for our own democratic institutions to successfully connect those dots in public, from the GRU agent at the depot to the politician on TV repeating the talking points, and actually take that power back? That is the real challenge here.